After a tough loss, the Jags have to learn and leave it. We'll talk about that as we recap yesterday and then take a look ahead. We'll do it in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars.
You are Locked On Jags, your daily Jacksonville Jaguars podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hey, man, I'm Tony Wiggins. Thank you for joining me here on Locked On Jaguars, your daily Jaguars podcast, where it's your team every day. And we thank you for making us your first listen. Also, have to let you know that we're free on all platforms, wherever you get your podcast. Make sure you like and subscribe to the YouTube page as well. Today's show here on Locked On Jaguars is presented by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is daily fantasy made easy. Pick 2 to 5 players, and if they score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 10 times your money on your entry. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. That's prizepicks.com, promo code Locked On. All right, man, going to make sure that we all mic'd up here because I got a few things to get off my chest. The Jaguars lose yesterday 29-21 to Philadelphia in the cold, rainy weather that we're not going to use as an excuse, because it's not as if when the Jaguars had the ball, it was raining, and when Philly had the ball, it stopped. No, it's not as if the Jaguars didn't get out to an early lead, 14-0, and then all of a sudden, they got jaguared by the Philadelphia Eagles, meaning they ran the ball. Philly won on first down, stayed on the field, controlled the clock for 39 minutes, ran 77 plays. They actually did to the Jaguars what the Jaguars did to the Chargers the week before. No excuses. Got beat by a team that's better at this juncture, and the Jags have a lot to improve on. We'll talk about that. We're going to recap the game. We're also going to talk about Doug's play calling in the second quarter, and I'm going to tell you why I think some of the things I hear and read are asinine as it pertains to that. And finally, we'll give you a reason to look forward and understand that if we're going to ask them to move ahead, we got to move ahead too. Give you reasons to be optimistic, really optimistic. And not necessarily that they lost, but that it's not the end of the world because they didn't win. So let's get back to yesterday's game. Give you a quick recap. As you saw in my postcast yesterday, and about 3,000 of you guys joined that. And I'm thanking you for doing that. That's also still up. If you want the instant reaction, check that out on YouTube or wherever you get your podcast. But yeah, they could play better. Your quarterback can't be responsible for 5 turnovers. Changing field position. What did we talk about? We talked about controlling the clock, field position, playing defense, getting to your sub package, pressuring the quarterback, controlling time of possession, winning the turnover margin, and being able to kick. Those are the things that the Jaguars in 2 games have been able to do well, right? So yesterday they did not win the turnover margin, even though they had a pick 6. The kicking game was null and void because of the rain and the weather. Did not control the clock. Didn't stop the run. Outside of the 14-point lead they had early, didn't play the run. I mean, didn't run the ball. Didn't really attempt too many runs. Didn't stop the run. Didn't get off the field. Had dumb penalties on defense that allowed the kicker, as well as a face mask. Those things just can't happen, because even if you're the Jaguars, if you're going to make a comeback, you're going to need time to do it, right? Well, when you don't have much time, you get rushed and you fumble the ball and you do things outside of your character because you think you're so desperate. It was Murphy's Law. Everything that could go wrong for a young team went wrong yesterday, including the quarterback playing like he ain't never played an NFL game before. When we get to this play calling stuff, I'm going to basically let y'all know this. I don't care who's calling plays. You got freaking Norv Turner over there calling plays. You can have Sid Gilman calling plays. If your quarterback fumbles 4 times and throws an interception, you are not going to win a game. period. And for those that keep saying, and this is a segue into the play calling segment, for those that keep saying, well, if your quarterback's having an off day, run it. Look, I get it. You wanted to run a little bit more. I'm sure they did. So I know your question is, well, they wanted to run some more. Why didn't they do it? Because I think he's in the moment as a play caller, and I think what he wants to do is get to the things that they worked on all week. I keep saying it, that Sunday isn't an experiment. Sunday is a display of what you have worked on. And when you say it's not working, you need to go do something else. I'm thinking, like, how you know it's not working when they gave the ball away five times? You don't know if it's not working. And sometimes when things aren't working, it's not because it was bad by design. Guys need to block better. Guys need to catch the ball. Guys need to not think about the elements. I don't know if anybody's played sports. I didn't play in the NFL. I was in the military. I raised five kids. You know what you can't do when things go wrong? Just switch up. One of the things about being a leader is whatever I tell you we're going to work on, we're going to do that. We're going to do that whether it's going good or bad. We're going to do it in the face of adversity. We're going to do it because it's who we are. These plays are the best plays we have. That little quick toss to the wide receiver worked like a charm last week in San Diego because they ran it with Zay Jones. He had 10 catches for 75 yards, and they kept getting ahead of the sticks. They threw the same pass to a few guys yesterday, and they dropped the ball. And Trevor might have threw the ball a little hot and heavy and high. But you don't stop what you're doing. I'm seeing people sitting here talking like they want to go back to Doug Marrone, where they're going to throw something against the wall and see if it sticks. That ain't the way this works. You don't abandon in the middle of the game. Yeah, you make adjustments. You know what sometimes the adjustment is? Tell your quarterback to stop fumbling. That's your adjustment. Don't grab a guy's face mask. There's your adjustment. How about when you're trying to block a kick, don't run into the kicker? There's your adjustment. How about the defensive tackles just get a little lower? And we're going to talk about that too. What I tell y'all about having only two guys in your base, you got Foto Fadakazi, and you have Devon Hamilton in your base defense, and they start. What I tell you, if one of them got hurt, what was going to happen? You weren't going to be able to play base very effectively. They go to a four-man front yesterday, and they got Roy Robinson Harris, and then sometimes they had Gostis in there. I even saw Smoot in there trying to help Devon Hamilton stop the run, and look what happened. This is why I brought this stuff up. I don't just bring it up, just try to be a know-it-all. I'm just saying. I'm not telling you not to second-guess the play calling. I'm telling you also there are bigger issues. They might have to make a move at defensive tackle. Now, I heard it's a quad injury for Fadakazi. That means Devon Hamilton can never come out of the game. And when they run 77 plays, oh, you don't think Philly knew that? You don't think somebody called and said, hey, they thinned the defensive tackle because the big dude is in the tent. And they ain't got but one other big guy. And Landon Dickerson weighs 349 pounds. And Jason Kelce is a Hall of Famer. Run it. And it's wet and they're on skates and they're tired. Come on, man. It's common sense. Silver lining coming in segment three. Segment two, we're going to talk more about the play calling and some of the ridiculous stuff I keep hearing about Doug Peterson. I'll get to all of that in just a second here on Locked On Jaguars. After I tell you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is your daily fantasy game where they have entries for you on Prize Picks. And then they have player projections on prizepicks.com. And you have to decide whether those players are going to do more or less than whatever those projections are. You pick 2 to 5 players. And if they go score more or less, if you choose it right, then Prize Picks projections, you can win up to 10 times your money on any entry. You can choose a flex option, meaning you don't have to get them all right. You won't get 10 times as much, but you'll get something. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code Locked On. If you deposit $100, they will give you another $100 to play with. If you deposit $50 on your initial sign up, they will give you $50. Don't forget to enter the promo code, which is Locked On, at sign up for an instant deposit match for up to $100. Go to prizepicks.com or download the Prize Picks app from your app store. All right, running it down, man. Getting back to it here. 29-21, Jags lose. They are now 2-2, still sitting up top of the AFC South division. So they get a chance to play next week against Houston Texans. So we'll discuss that in our next segment. But before we get to that, let's talk about who's going to be calling those plays in Houston, and that's Doug Peterson. Folks, when somebody calls a game and they win and it works, they're genius. When they call a game and they lose and it doesn't work, then they blew the game. There was one sequence I didn't really agree with. They threw it, didn't have it. Third and 10, ran it up the middle, got 2 yards. And I was like, wow. Sort of quit on that one. But maybe he felt the mojo. Maybe he was like, hey, man, look, we need to get out of this drive. This is an ugly drive right now. Guys are kind of lost. I need to get him over here and talk to him. I don't know what it was, but maybe that was it. James Robinson didn't get as many carries as we would like him to get. But although if you read Twitter, you think he averaged 19 yards a carry. No, he averaged 3.6 yards a carry yesterday. And I know you want to keep grinding it. You can't tell me that maybe that fumble didn't have something to do with, and it wasn't the Urban type yank him out, but maybe that fumble didn't have a little bit to do with, hey, man, you all right? And maybe, you know, you look him in the eye and his body language ain't right or ain't confident, or maybe told somebody, hey, man, I don't know, the ball's kind of slippery or whatever. You don't want to put him back in position too much to make a mistake. I'm not speculating that's what happened. I'm just saying, for some reason, they didn't run him as much as you thought they would yesterday. I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that they got behind, too. And when they missed Jamal Agnew, which would have put him up 21-0, do they win the game if they do that? Maybe, because it changes some of the things Philly does. Philly was still able to remain patient because they were only down 14 points. And that allowed them to eventually get to their running game. That allowed them to eventually get to their running game, which I think was the key, because the running game kept the Jaguars on the field defensively. And I don't know if you give the Jaguars the ball back even more than that. Maybe they turn it over 10 times with the way things were going yesterday. And y'all ain't going to go Milli Vanilli on me and blame it on the rain, because it's not like when the Jaguars had the ball, it rained, and then when Philly got it, it stopped and the sun came out. No, that didn't happen. So, you know, let's just keep the main thing the main thing. Number 16 has to play better, period. End of discussion. You're not winning no football games with a dude turning the ball over by himself 5 times. It's not going to happen. I don't care who's calling the plays. And that little quick wide receiver pass last week worked. I even talked about it on the show, how Zay Jones had 10 catches for 75 yards. That little pop pass worked, and they kept staying above the sticks. 2nd and 5 or 2nd and 4 every single time. Dudes just didn't catch it yesterday, and then when they did, they just didn't break tackles. I saw Chris Manhurst catch it, and he ran right to the dude who tackled it. One thing I will say about Doug maybe getting caught up in being a play caller, on the quarterback sneak on 3rd and 1 where Trevor fumbled the ball, I really thought that Travis Etienne got the first down on 2nd down. I thought Travis Etienne converted. And maybe they should have took a look at it. I thought he got a bad spot. Sometimes as a play caller, it's raining, it's going, you're trying to get to the next one. Not that it makes much of a difference, but you don't call a quarterback sneak there. But once again, Trevor fumbled so much yesterday, maybe he was going to fumble again anyway. I'm not here to sitting here saying that you can't question or say, because I did it yesterday. But just to come to this sort of conclusion that Doug was terrible and got out coached is ridiculous. You can get out coached. You should have lost by 30 points with your quarterback giving the ball away five times on the road against a very good team in a hostile environment in a downpour of rain. They lost by eight, and there's no moral victories, but the thing is they had the ball with a chance to go down and tie the game, and Trevor fumbled again. If they tie that game yesterday and somehow figure out a way to win it, you know what? We talk about how well coached they are to be able to overcome those mistakes, and when they eliminate those mistakes, they're going to be unbeatable. So, yeah, miss me with the got out coached thing. The Jags lost. They got outplayed. And one of their Achilles heels is lack of 300-pound depth on the defensive line. It came into fruition yesterday because one of them got hurt, just like I talked about. So y'all got receipts. You go back and just pull it. In fact, the next time I'll mark it, and I'll tell you exactly where it was. It was during cut week, and I said, you better hope neither one of them gets hurt. Here's why. Because when they're in their base, you got Fadu Kazi and Devon Hamilton together. And I know they like to get to the sub package, but sometimes you have to stay in base, especially when the team's trying to run the ball, right? Well, when one of them gets hurt, who's the other guy they bring in to play next to the other one that stays in the game? He's not nothing like them. It's a three technique or a five technique. It's not another guy that is a run stuffer or who can slide over and play the nose or two gap. It's not one of those dudes. They don't have a third big dude like that on their team. Landon Dickerson is 340-some-odd pounds. And Jason Kelce probably is a Hall of Famer. They were whipping them in the middle yesterday and running through holes that a truck could have gone through. I'm going to tell you why, though. You shouldn't be too alarmed. Don't be too hard on yourself. And don't think that it's over, because it's not. After I tell you about Built Bar Puffs, they are absolutely delicious. And if you haven't had one, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. And guess what? There's a new flavor. Delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. That's right. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you and your friends to a new favorite cookie dough chunk puffs. They have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks. And of course, they're covered with 100% chocolate. All of the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of actually having to make it. Run to built.com to snag a box for you and your family. It'll be the perfect treat, or you can find a really good hiding place and just hoard them and keep them all for yourself. 160 calories, 15 whopping grams of protein. That is absolutely tremendous. So go to built.com, use promo code LOCKEDON15. That's right. Let me give it to you again. LOCKEDON15. 15, and you're going to get 15% off your order. Make sure you use the promo code LOCKEDON15 at built.com. Check it out. All right, man, rolling on through here in segment three. I'm going to give you some silver lining here about the Jaguars. They're 2-2, still on top of the division. Got the Houston Texans coming in this week. They need to win that game, man. You want to see some stuff get funny. You let them lose to Houston. And that's not what you want. You want them to regroup the same way they did from week one to week two. Now you want them to go from week four, transition to week five, and get back on the winning track. They can do it. They're capable. Trevor has to play better. Remember that variance I talked about with the difference between his best and his worst? Yesterday was his worst. The last 2 weeks we've seen his best. He has to close that gap and shorten that up a little bit. And I know it's hard to do that when the opponents change, but you got to be who you are, man. You got to be who you are, and you got to at least be consistently close to being at your best, because then the offense, the coordinator, the coaches, they know what to expect, and the team can just play off of that. But as the quarterback, as the person that touches the ball the most on that team other than the center, you really are responsible for ball protection and ball security. We talked a lot about Juwan Taylor and how what kind of year he was having. He had two bad plays. One of them probably could have been avoided if Trevor wasn't a statue in the pocket. but he had two bad reps that cost him a little bit. But we still like Juwan Taylor. The other thing is, they were upset, according to Doug Peterson. They were mad, they were angry, and that's a good thing. Now, take that anger, get back to work, get back on your horse. Juwan Taylor, Trayvon Walker, we talked about how great he played. Yesterday, he hit the wall yesterday called Lane Johnson, and that's going to happen in the NFL. So now you got to figure out how to get around. He did have one really good pressure, and he came off the ball and made some tackles. But now, how do you get to that next move where you disengage, get around a guy, show him something different, and not just try to use power, because Lane Johnson wasn't going nowhere yesterday. So some things that they can learn from. Here's your silver lining. You're going to be all right. The Colts, who you beat last week or 2 weeks ago, beat the Chiefs last week, who mollywopped Tampa. Now, I know just because A beats B and B beats C doesn't mean A can beat C, but it does give you some insight to the NFL. Anybody can beat anybody at any time. The thing is when you turn the ball over five times, you're not supposed to beat anybody, and the Jaguars had a chance at the end of the game to at least go and tie it. I said before, I don't think this team is one of those teams that's going to get blown out. You're on the road against a really good team, and you lay it on the ground five times, and you still don't get blown out. That means I might be right. I probably want a little bit more of an explanation of why they did not run the ball as much. Doug Peterson has repeatedly said, you throw to score, you run to win. If I could use a baseball analogy, you don't put your closer in until you have the lead. You do what Philly did yesterday. They ran the complement passing, but they passed to make some big plays. And in the end, when they had to hold you off and you shorthanded the defensive tackle, they ran the ball down your throat and controlled the clock, and there was nothing you could do about it. Make sure you check out the Peacock and Williamson NFL show, which is a part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Brian Peacock and Matt Williamson. Matt's an NFL, former NFL scout, and Peacock is one of our hosts here on the Locked On Network at the Locked On 49ers. They give it to you like you can't get it anywhere else. Very, very good show, breaking it down from all of the news around the National Football League, and you'll love it. You'll love being here, man, too, until next week, until tomorrow, rather, because of your daily podcast where it's your team every day. We're going to start moving on towards Houston and take a look at what the Jaguars have to do to get themselves back on track. We'll take a look at some of the matchups this week, the keys to the game. We also have our usual crossover, the Texans, John Hickman and Cody Davis. I'm smiling because they owe me an apology, and I think I'm going to get it. And then, of course, we'll have your pregame look on Friday. Make sure you tune in with us here. Make us your team every day, your first listen every day. We thank you for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.